I've got a group of players who have been unbelievable, champions of Scotland and well-deserved. And for you, the best on the planet, unbelievable. You've embraced me, you've embraced my family, you've embraced this jumper, and I want everyone to enjoy today, enjoy the summer, and we'll come back bigger, better, because we never stop.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Hasn't he endeared himself to the local fans? Ange Postecoglou, and really enjoying it as well. As is this man, John McGinley, who's a writer for About Celtic and also a podcast host, and he joins us after what has been another triumphant weekend for the club. John, welcome.
Hi, glad to be here. Glad to talk to you and speak to you about Celtic and Scottish football. The Australians have been so into it over the last few days, so it's great to have a chat with you.
And you as well. So what's the overriding emotion right now? I mean, listening to Ange talk about coming back bigger, better and stronger, I assume can only send tingles down the spine of Celtic supporters.
Yeah, goosebump stuff for the Celtic supporters. Ange has been sending that message all season. But for the scenes to be so jubilant inside Celtic Park at the same time, and then for Ange just to tell us that we're going to go again, I think really gets everyone up for the summer and for next season, and to push on from the success that he's already enjoyed.
So what has been the most surprising thing for you, John, having been around Celtic for a long time, from when Ange took over, and there was so much cynicism from the local media when he first took over, to now? Mm-hmm. I mean, what to you has been the biggest change, or what has surprised you the most about what Ange has done with this team?
It goes beyond football, even, Lawrence. It's more of a, he's unified the support with the team, and he's been like a, he's been a figurehead. He's been almost a parental figure for supporters. And I don't think, you know, regardless of how the season was meant to pan out, I don't think anyone was expecting to have such an iconic character in their lives from a man that really nobody had really heard of this time last year here. But the way he's messaged with the Celtic support, the way he identifies with them, as you said, you heard it there. I mean, he's lockstep with these Celtic supporters now, and I think that's what surprised me most. But the context of the job that he walked into, Celtic were in a bit of disarray. You know, the squad was in bad shape. Rangers were well on top, 25 points ahead last season. And so for him to both turn around the fortunes of the club on the pitch and then also be this leader off the pitch and really bring the whole club together and pushing forward in one direction has been the most surprising and thrilling thing for me. I think, you know, this generation of Celtic supporters have been waiting for a manager like this for a long time. And as I said, he's become an iconic figure. And I don't think anyone expected that, even if they thought he might do a decent job this season.
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly no one would have expected in such a short period of time. Tell me, John, when you look at what Ange has done, do you think to yourself, this is the long-term manager of the Celtic Football Club? Or I guess the other side of the same coin is there are going to be a lot of big clubs, not to say that Celtic isn't, but big clubs, particularly you would think in the Premier League, that are watching what he has done and will try to convince him to take the next step in his career?
Yeah, it's a natural question. You know, especially from the Australian side of things, they think, you know, how high can Ange Postecoglou go in Europe? I think it's important to consider that I sense this as perhaps a 3 or 4 year project at Celtic, and I think Ange does as well.
Yep.
Every message that's come out from him, you know, over the last 6 months has been about that. He's ready to go next season, and I think the important thing to remember is that he's about to bring Celtic into the Champions League, which is a massive club competition. It'll be so exciting next season. And so while I think he could manage in the Premier League, undoubtedly, I do think he's got 2 or 3 years to go left at Celtic and really try and push Celtic onto a level that we've not been at, as I say, in a whole generation. So I think that's what everyone's so excited about just now.
Yeah, so you talk about the Champions League, which I agree with you, is such an exciting prospect for the club. It wasn't that long ago that I remember Celtic not just being a force in Scotland, but also, a really good team in Europe that was hard to beat, reaching knockout stages. Is there a sense that the squad, I mean, it feels like you've got the right coach. What does Celtic need to add to the squad to get back to those days where they're not just making up the numbers in the Champions League, but, you know, they're getting through the group stage and they're sending the fear of God into a few giants of European football?
Yeah, it's a really difficult thing to do. You know, the reality of modern football is that there's increasingly a financial gulf.
Yeah,
I think first and foremost, you know, we do get 30 or 40 million pounds of Champions League money immediately just for qualifying for the group stages. So naturally, there'll be an expectation of another summer of quality player recruitment. Now, Ange signed more than 10 players last summer. It's not going to be as many as that. But if he can, you know, sign four or five quality first-team players in a few key positions, and I'm talking defensively, I'm talking on the left side of defence, perhaps even another winger, then, you know, you start to put together a really quality squad that has lots of options to it. And I think that's what Ange, you know, values more than anything, is just to have that ability to rotate players in and out and not, you know, reduce the quality of the starting 11. It's going to be so difficult, but Celtic Park on a Champions League night, you know, does rock, and it does rock teams. And as we've seen in this season, you know, our rivals Rangers in the final of the Europa League, you know, there's a bar there for Scottish teams to go and make their mark in Europe. And I think if Celtic can go into this group stage with a lot of optimism, with a lot of fire, then, you know, they might not qualify for the knockout stages, but, you know, they could drop into the Europa League as the third place team. You know, there's plenty of options here. And I think everyone is just, you know, desperate for those great Celtic Champions League nights to return. And hopefully Ange can set the fire that does that.
Hey, John, can you paint the picture for our Australian listeners? That the irony of this whole situation is that if Ange Postecoglou walked down Swan Street here in the heart of Melbourne, there'd be a lot of people that wouldn't know who he was. And, you know, we're talking about one of the most sports-mad cities in the world. What is it like over there? I mean, is he now, what he's done, is he a rock star? Can he go to the local supermarket? Can he go out to a pub for a meal? Or would he just be absolutely mobbed?
He wouldn't be mobbed, but you would certainly be known. And his picture might end up on social media within about 5 minutes.
Right.
You know, there is a respect for managers and players from both Celtic and Rangers in Glasgow. You know, they do get left alone. They don't get harassed when they're out and about, but they're certainly known and they're certainly loved. You know, Ange is undoubtedly a rock star in the sense that everyone knows who he is and everyone loves who he is. He's, as I said, he's become an icon. And it is a strange one. You know, it's hard to explain the feeling we have for football over here. It's more than a sport. It's a culture. It's an identity. And Ange has tapped into all of that since he's been here. You know, Celtic and Scottish football is almost a unique thing. And it's sometimes, you know, it's easy for us to sometimes feel overshadowed by perhaps bigger leagues in England, more illustrious leagues across Europe. But Ange has come in and reinvigorated and given a lot of people a lot of pride about their club and about the league again. And I think that's what's been so great about all the attention from Australia and Japan this season, is that, you know, it's quite validating for a lot of Celtic supporters. So it's a great opportunity for myself and for other people to be speaking in Australian media about the Celtic experience over the last few days.
Yeah, and we're going to continue to love talking about them, particularly when we've got a vested interest in it with, you know, a man that we feel has been homegrown here, even though there's probably an argument against that as well. He's done a lot of his best work away from Australia, and he's certainly grown as a manager and grown as a tactician. It's been a joy to watch. John, we really appreciate it. Enjoy the summer, and let's hold Ange to his word. Let's see if they come back bigger and stronger.
Yeah, certainly. Thanks very much for having me.
John McGinley there, Celtic writer and a podcast host, and one of the great accents in sporting media. Don't worry about that.